This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Injury news and notes, and of course, as always, the most important part of any week, apart from the music, your fantasy questions on the people's text line at 590-590, name and location, please. Just a reminder that we are not on the air next Sunday because it is Christmas Day, but we are on the air Saturday morning instead, which is Christmas Eve, as the bulk of Week 16, in case you have missed this, is actually on the Saturday. Just three games on the Sunday itself. I guess there's going to be some competition for the remote control next Sunday because of, all Christmas Day is usually the day everyone watches all the NBA games. But three NFL games on Sunday, but because most of the games are on Christmas Eve, quick reminder with regards to that when it comes to sending your questions to the people's text line, again at 590-590 next Saturday, please. But Matt, let's begin today with the four games that have already happened. And I suppose it is better late than never when it comes to the snow down in Buffalo. It started falling with about, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And by the time we got to the 2-minute warning, there was like a pretty decent amount of snow on the ground. Like, Marchese, I got to say, Tua has never looked so cold. Like, I know he said, oh, it snowed when I was at Alabama, but I can speak from experience having attended late December games, Boxing Day games in Orchard Park. When it snows down there, it comes down in huge amounts.
Well, did you they played Sweet Home Alabama after the game last night, which is the ultimate troll job. But like, come on, Tua, are we really having are we really trying to compare snow in Alabama to snow in Orchard Park, New York in December? I mean, come on. I was having this conversation with Austin, our technical operator, before I came on the show, and I was saying like the Bills team right now is so bizarre to me. Like that game, I was like, okay, it's gonna be cold. They're just gonna dominate Miami, and they end up needing to win on literally a last second field goal from Tyler Bass, and it's the offense has not looked great. Like yesterday it was such a terrible fantasy day for the stars on the Buffalo Bills because Dawson Knox led the team in receiving. He had a touchdown. Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs were, I mean, less so Gabe Davis, but Stephon Diggs the last two games has not quite looked like Stephon Diggs in this offense. And Josh Allen had a pretty good day aside from, a fumble. Actually, he had two fumbles. One was lost, but yeah, everybody was all over the under in that game yesterday. And I was like, I saw the pregame shots of the field. Like it's going to be cold. Yeah. But the field is going to have no impact. And then at the end of the game, like you mentioned with the snow falling, you've got Bills offensive linemen trying to clear off a path with their hands so that Tyler Bass has a route to the ball to kick a field goal. It was, can we call it a really bizarre day yesterday? All three games were mind-boggling to me.
Oh yeah, it was a weird. We'll get to the Vikings Colts game in a second because like wow, that I got a story for you on that one. But I'll be honest with me, when Devin Singletary went down intentionally before the first down marker to set up that Tyler Bass field goal, what was your thought process? What was your honest thought in that sequence there?
My honest thought was that if Stephon Diggs had scored a touchdown and earlier in the game, and that was the play that ended up costing me money because I had it on a parlay, that I would have snapped. But in the moment, I was like, okay, they're going to run this down. And I'm like, oh boy, this is like, they'll get this right. But my goodness, this is a little bit too uncomfortable for me. I know why he did it. But there was nothing comfortable about that game. Even in that moment, there was not one thing that was comfortable about that game, and that was probably another. But I was like, okay, they're close here, but yeah, maybe he should have gotten the first down just to be sure, just to be safe.
Yeah, I think I was just replaying that moment in my mind here, and yeah, it's just all I ever thought was with the snow swirling, even though it is Tyler Bass and they're at home and they're probably used to kicking field goals in these conditions. I mean, you know, with 30 seconds left, yeah, I suppose it's possible things can happen, like wacky things can happen, and the Dolphins tie the game or whatever. But I kind of just thought in that moment, Singletary should have just taken the TD. Like, he would have walked in for a touchdown, or he would have bounced off of one guy and gone in for a score. But ultimately it didn't really matter, but maybe from a fantasy perspective would have mattered a little more. He had 13 carries for 42 yards. And I think he had a couple of catches. He had three catches for 28 yards as well. Like you said, Dawson Knox, 98 yards and a touchdown, six catches along with it. Josh Allen, of course, led the team in rushing. He had 10 carries for 77 yards, including that 40-something yard run towards the end of the game. He was 25 of 40 for 304 yards and four passing touchdowns. So he had a pretty good game. I think he had like 35 fantasy points in the end. He looked pretty good. And as we have grown accustomed to, even though Jaylen Waddle has had a couple of down weeks in a row, three catches for 114 yards and a touchdown for Waddle, nine catches for 69 yards and a touchdown for Tyreek Hill. So you were probably feeling pretty good if you started either of the WR1s on this Miami Dolphins offense. And from a running back perspective, no Jeff Wilson Jr., Raheem Mostert, 17 carries, 136 yards. No TDs. He did have a catch for 20 yards as well. And of course, Matt, just as we all predicted, Savon Ahmed getting a touchdown on the ground as well.
Like I said, one of the weirdest days that I've ever seen. Like, you mentioned the Dawson Knox line there. If I had told you that among Dawson Knox, Mark Andrews, David Njoku, and Knox, that Dawson Knox would have been by far and away the best tight end that you should have started in that game, your response to me would have been what?
Oh, I would have been like, you're a liar. Stop your lies.
Right to jail.
Yeah.
And that's why yesterday just as a whole was so ridiculous. I will say this, show. I did enjoy having football on all day Saturday, like NFL football. I love college football. But yesterday was all about the NFL. Can I say one thing about our job? Is that because we work at the Fan in Toronto, I have used this excuse about 1,000 times. So yesterday we took my daughter to take a picture with Santa Claus. And then we had to go to my in-laws for my brother-in-law's birthday.
Okay.
Who is also a sports fan, my brother-in-law, big time. And I used the excuse, I got to watch this for work. I can't tell you how many times that I've done that when in fact it's actually true, but I do love using it because people go, oh, you don't need to. I'm like, no, I need to watch this for work. I cannot take away from my job. I need to watch this for work. Just like last night streaming the LA Kings San Jose Sharks game while I'm trying to put my daughter to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning. My wife says, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching this for work.
I
also placed a wager on it. So, I mean, yes, that also helped.
I did not watch the LA Kings San Jose Sharks game. I'll be completely honest with you. Did not watch 1 second of that game, and I'm happy I did not. I will say I did not. I also will completely be honest about this one. I did not watch the second half of Colts Vikings. Okay, I'll be completely honest. I went to go do Christmas shopping. It was 33-0 at the half, and I said, I'm behind on the Christmas shopping. Christmas is in a week, essentially. My cousins are coming into town on Thursday. I don't have any time to do this during the week. You know what? Their Colts are up 3. I'll be back in time for Ravens Browns. I'm going to go buy some Christmas gifts. I'm not kidding. I was in the store at Fairview Mall. I was literally standing in the middle of Fairview Mall, and I was like, oh, I wonder how this game is. I wonder if Justin Jefferson in one of my playoff leagues. Let's see how he's doing, right? I opened the app because I think the last I had checked is he'd gotten injured. He had a chest injury and he had just returned to the game. And I was like, okay, this is done. This is done. So here, like maybe he'll get a couple more catches and maybe if I'm lucky, a touchdown. But I'm not going to be super concerned, right? I think it was in overtime when I checked the score. He finished that game with 12 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. KJ Osborne, 157 yards, a touchdown on 10 catches. Dalvin Cook had, 17 carries for 95 yards, and then through the air, four catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. Adam Thielen had a touchdown on three catches for 41 yards. Boy, it was just an absolute Massive comeback. I believe it was the biggest comeback in NFL history. I believe, right? It was 33-0 at halftime, which basically means that Matt Ryan, unfortunately for him, and I'm sorry to any Falcons fans listening out there, because you're going to be reminded about this every time there's a huge comeback, much less one that involves the biggest comeback in NFL history, much less one that involves Matt Ryan. But now he has been on the two sides of 28-3 in the Super Bowl to the Patriots, and then now a 33-0 comeback right before Christmas, essentially, to the I don't know if the Vikings are going to go very far in the playoffs. They kind of feel a little fraudulent to me, but still, they won this game and they won it in a big way. I was kind of like, boy, like no one messes with Jeff Saturday on Saturdays, but I guess that's not true.
Well, I had the same thing. I went. It was, I think I left after the first quarter. It was 17-0, and just finished taking the pictures of Santa Claus with my daughter, and we're in a store. And I was like, I said the same thing. Let me check the score. And it was 30-0. And I went, what the bleep happened? And I could not believe my eyes. So two things with this. Like, one, Jonathan Taylor goes down. So unfortunately for anybody that started him, which everybody, if you have him, you started him. In this game, he goes down. And then you look at the score line and you're like, okay, the Colts put up 36 points. Like, Matt Ryan must have had a day. Matt Ryan had 182 yards and a touchdown. You were still better off starting Matt Ryan than you were Tyler Huntley. And we'll get to that one. Don't you worry. And it's like, okay, you want to grind out clock and you want to win this game. Like, yes, it should have been long and done with, but I'm sorry. You do not try to grind out clock with Zach Moss and Deion Jackson, who combined for 136 yards on 37 carries. Like, it wasn't bad, but it's not, those are not the guys that you look at and go, that's the team that I want to, that's the tandem I want to grind out the clock with. And you would think, oh, 36 points must have been a great day for Michael Pittman. He did have 10 catches, but they were for 60 yards. He did have two carries for 30 yards. It wasn't bad. But after that, the next highest receiving total for the Colts was Jelani Woods with one catch for 36 yards. Like, Paris Campbell was basically invisible with two catches for 13 yards. Like, it was a bizarre game. And Joe, I will say this, I'm watching it at my in-laws. I'm watching this finish. And I was like, what are the odds here that the Colts are going to blow this one? They were up by like 22 points. I'm like, there's no way, right? And my brother-in-law goes, I think you should place a sucker bet on the Vikings to win. I'm like, I think they'll cover the spread. It's fine. And I'm watching this just kicking myself going, yeah, he was probably right. And then they end up winning. But, I mean, when you look at the Viking standpoint, like, Kirk Cousins threw for 460 yards yesterday. Four touchdowns, two interceptions. Like, that was absolutely a tale of two games. Not even two halves, two games. Because I saw somebody point this out. That was peak 2022 Colts and peak 2022 Vikings in the same game that ended up 39-36. One team showed up in the first half, the other team didn't, and then the reverse happened in the second half. So if you were sitting at halftime with Kirk Cousins, who I believe had like 46 passing yards at half, and then finished with 460, like, what is going through your mind when you have Dalvin Cook, who had, like, I think he had five carries for, like, 55 yards. Kirk Cousins had 46 passing yards or whatever it was at the half. And Justin Jefferson had, like, 17 receiving yards at half.
I know.
The three – so you're – like, talk about a fantasy roller coaster of emotions. At halftime, you're like, well, I'm done. That's it. Like, I know some guys that have Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins, and Justin Jefferson on the same team. And you look and go, oh, man, this was a fun season while it lasted. And now, if you went to sleep and then woke up, you're like, wow, I'm winning my matchup. I'm going to the ship here.
Yeah, I like I said, as someone who started Justin Jefferson and thought to myself, I wasn't super mad because I thought, you know what, he's been so good all year. He's allowed to have a couple down games. If it had, unfortunate that it had to happen in the fantasy like semifinals or quarterfinals or whatever. And yeah, like I said, in the end, he had a touchdown on 12 catches and 103 receiving yards. Pretty ridiculous. Hey, before we move on to Ravens-Browns, and I do want to very briefly get to Thursday night's 49ers-Seahawks game. And we'll talk more about this on the Waiver Wire Pod. And every week we do the Waiver Wire Pod. It's available on the Fantasy Show podcast feed, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. But of course, we have to talk about the injury to Jonathan Taylor. It's possible he's fine for next week. It's possible it's just not. It doesn't end up being a super big deal. But at the same time, Zach Moss had 24 carries for 81 yards. I don't believe he was really involved in the passing game. No, he had no catches. And then you got Deion Jackson, who had 13 carries for 55 yards, and he had one catch for 1 yard and a touchdown. So he basically got a catch right on the goal line for a TD. Who is the back to own if Jonathan Taylor is the guy who gets injured? Is it Zach Moss? Because he out-touched Deion Jackson, I think, by like 8 or 9 touches in the end. But it's still Deion Jackson who got the touchdown. And we have seen Deion Jackson get a lot of work in the receiving game in the past. I suspect it'll be a committee. I suspect that'll be the case if the Colts do not have Jonathan Taylor available next weekend. But I'm curious what your immediate thoughts are on that.
It's really interesting because I was thinking about this before we got on the air. And when you look at the upcoming schedule, I mean, next week, Boxing Day, or I guess, yes, next, sort of next week, Chargers play the Colts are playing the Chargers. And we have very well documented on this show how awful the Chargers run defense is. My only thing here is, so Moss had the 24 carries, but game script dictated a lot of Zach Moss's work. I just don't see the Colts going up by 33 points again. I really don't. So for me, like, Zach Moss was, you know, he averaged 3.4 yards a carry, but I think that I think everybody's going to go to the wire and they're going to try and get Zach Moss. But I think the guy you should probably have is Deion Jackson. And the reason is, it feels like a game that is probably going to be a little bit closer. So Deion Jackson will get that work in the passing game more so than Zach Moss. Like, Zach Moss isn't getting 24 carries next week if Jonathan Taylor's out. Like, I would be absolutely stunned if that were the case. I just think that Deion Jackson offers a skill set that is more conducive to putting up decent numbers in a neutral game script. And there's also the possibility, which I think is more likely than, again, the Colts going up 33-0, that the Colts are down and they need to throw the ball more, and it's going to be Deion Jackson getting the majority of the work. So while everybody rushes to the waiver wire to get Zach Moss, I would probably rather put my claim in for Deion Jackson.
Yeah, we've seen Deion Jackson get, like, there have been games where he's had, you know, almost double-digit catches. I think he did actually hit double-digit catches.
I think he had 10 catches one week.
I think it was that very first, I think it was the first time Jonathan Taylor was out, the week that you would have, that most people would have considered starting Deion Jackson, was the very, very first week. And yeah, that was the week he had, I think, 10 catches. So we know he is likely to be worked into the passing game. And if they are more competitive, perhaps in terms of not trying to grind the clock out, then maybe you see more Deion versus more Zach Moss. Let's get to the Browns Ravens game. Browns beating the Ravens 13-3. And look, Tyler Huntley was a popular waiver start. He went 17 of 30 for 138 yards. He had no passing touchdowns. He had an interception. He rushed the ball 6 times for 15 yards. So, a forgettable outing from Tyler Huntley. Honestly, a forgettable outing from every single Baltimore Raven not named J.K. Dobbins. Mark Andrews, 3 receptions, 31 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, 6 catches, 29 yards. So I guess if you're in a full PPR league, you're in a particularly deep league, getting almost 10 points from DeMarcus Robinson is not terrible, I suppose, but still it's not great either. But J.K. Dobbins, 13 carries for 125 yards. He had 1 catch for 3 yards as well. So not a lot of work in the passing game for J.K. Dobbins, but I mean, I'll say this, Matt. I've said this to you before. I've said this on the air many, many times since J.K. Dobbins has been drafted, but I truly believe this guy is one of the most talented running backs in the entire NFL. He may be the most talented running back in the entire NFL. It's just that the injuries have unfortunately derailed his career thus far. But even in just his second week back, he just looks more explosive. Like, I think there's a real chance that come next year, I think he is going to be one of the better running backs again, just because he'll have learned to trust that knee of his again, because he tore like every ligament of that knee plus his ACL. So, well, I guess your ACL is a ligament as well, but all the various ligaments in his knee. And now he looks better. I still don't think he's 100%, and he's still racked up 125 yards.
He is just, he's one of those, he's a really good pure runner, right? And the fact that they don't use him in the passing game is not necessarily a detriment. Now, was the matchup a peach one for him? Sure it was. That run defense that that the Browns have has been just horrible. But the week before, they were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers' run defense was pretty good. And guess what J.K. Dobbins did? Ran all over them. Like, that part did not change. And that was in a game where Tyler Huntley went down and Anthony Brown came in, and you knew all they were going to do was run the ball, and they still couldn't stop him. It's funny how there was a lot of people that thought that he rushed back, and he didn't play in the first. He definitely didn't play in the first game. I can't remember if he started his season in the second game, but he didn't look right. And then he ended up hitting the shelf. He goes on IR. He has surgery to clean up. I think it was some scar tissue or whatever. So you wonder how much that affected him, or if it was just, he just came back too early and he needed the additional rest just to, and like you talked about, being able to trust that knee. But over the last two games, like if you were one person that stashed J.K. Dobbins and just said, you know, I'm going to keep him on my IR spot, I'm not going to drop him or trade him or whatever, you're now reaping the benefits. And J.K. Dobbins, dare I say, might end up being a league winner this late in the season, and someone who you know, likely spent pretty decent draft capital on to get, and now it's paying dividends. Sometimes that happens. Like, in very rare cases do we see that, especially in what we usually see is a committee backfield in Baltimore, but they've really leaned on J.K. Dobbins the last 2 weeks to the point that he has made Gus Edwards basically, you know, just the handcuff with the Ravens. But I do want to say that I was one of those suckers that picked up Tyler Huntley this week. I was like, oh, it's the Browns. It should be a good, like, he's going to rush for 50 yards. I was also the sucker that went, you know, Mark Andrews with Tyler Huntley at the end of last year was really good. And I was the jackass that started both of them in a playoff game. And now I'm going to lose in a league where I had been to the finals three straight years, in the only 3 years that I've been in the league. And now that streak looks like it's going to end because my opponent has guys like Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith and Keenan Allen and Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley. And if I keep going down the list, I'm going to start to cry. So Mark Andrews, the last, basically since like week five or six, has been an absolute dud and disappointment. And not all of it has to do with quarterback play. Like, I don't know how much of that game you watched, show, but there was one play in particular where Tyler Huntley throws to the sidelines. Mark Andrews makes the catch, and he just so nonchalantly, like, doesn't even try to get out of bounds. It looked like he had no intention to secure the ball, just holds it. And then I think it was one of the corners, because he was playing on the outside and it wasn't a linebacker. And he just came in and kind of knocked the ball out of his hands, and there goes a first down. And I'm like, what happened to Mark Andrews? A guy that you could count on every week. And I was debating starting Pat Freiermuth or Mark Andrews. That was a bad decision, because I'm saying, and like most people, how do you not start Mark Andrews in a playoff game? That was exactly why.
You know, it's funny. I had seen some people also make the argument before Thursday night's game that maybe you should start, I don't know, like David Njoku, or Mark Andrews certainly is one of those guys, or a Pat Freiermuth, or wait to see what happens with Dallas Goedert. And spoiler alert, does not look like Dallas Goedert is going to play today. But any of those guys over George Kittle, and I kind of get it, because George Kittle has not had a super consistent season, let's call it. And I mean, we've seen a lot of fluctuations with the 49ers offense over the past season because of the injuries to all the quarterbacks and so on. But George Kittle on Thursday night, 4 catches for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns. I believe the first touchdown of his, Matt, was the longest touchdown by a tight end this season, which is actually pretty remarkable considering it's what, week 15. But the 49ers come out and they win 21-13 over the Seattle Seahawks. They were up pretty much by, I think, multiple touchdowns essentially all game. And it was only in the end that the Seahawks under Geno Smith kind of salvaged that outing. I think Geno ended with about 15 points. So honestly, considering the circumstances, I think you take the 15 points from Geno and you run. I think you take any of the Seahawks points and you run, especially from guys like Lockett and Metcalf. They both had 7 catches. Lockett had 68 receiving yards. Metcalf had 55 receiving yards. But boy, the 49ers look really good, and Christian McCaffrey erasing any doubts, I would say, that most people had about him coming into the year.
Doesn't it look like Christian McCaffrey is like the perfect player for Kyle Shanahan's offense?
I know.
And the way that they use misdirection, and we saw it on it was the second George Kittle touchdown. I believe it was the second one where they have, I think it was Ayuk, looks like he's running a jet sweep. He runs behind, or maybe it was Ray McLeod. Either way, it doesn't matter. And Brock Purdy fakes to the left. Then he looks to the right at Christian McCaffrey, fakes to the right, and just opens up the middle of the field for George Kittle. And you're like, really? And Brock Purdy was serviceable. I think we get a little bit too caught up in the moment sometimes, because Kyle Shanahan's offense is like driving a Ferrari in most cases, especially now that they have Christian McCaffrey. And I know Deebo Samuel wasn't in that game, but I mean, Kyle Shanahan's not an idiot. Has he made some mistakes? Sure. But would this offense look any different with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm? I don't think so. I think it looks probably about the same, which leads me to believe that a lot of quarterbacks could thrive in that offense with those weapons. That kind of goes without saying. So I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't be rushing to the waiver wire to pick up Brock Purdy, only because I think there's some higher end options. But If you're stuck, like, you know, I was this week and decided Tyler Huntley was the guy, you look at their schedule, they have Washington next week, and then they have the Raiders. Like, he could be startable for you if you are really hurting at quarterback, just because it's his job now, and he's got 2 plum matchups, one of them being at home with Washington, the other one being on the road with the Raiders, and we all know the Raiders stink, so that doesn't really matter. But it's just kind of funny because when Jimmy Garoppolo went down, I went, well, there goes their Super Bowl chances. And now I'm looking at it going, I don't think it really matters.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with. I think if the quarterback production has been relatively replaceable, which I think is a good thing for San Francisco, obviously, like in a real life sense, because you probably did not have super high expectations for Brock Purdy, and that he is performing like Jimmy G, essentially, is probably really encouraging. And it's just, I think the poise is, it looks really good, because all things considered, you know, for a guy who is a rookie, was the very last pick of the NFL draft, you, again, expectations were extremely low. So that he is performing like this and is very, honestly, it's just cool, generally speaking, from a storyline perspective. But also, yeah, I think there will be some, should I start Brock Purdy in my 2QB league in a championship weekend? And I said this to you before, but I mean, like, I started Berrios and Dare Ogunbowale last year and won a championship. So, I mean, like, and I'm sure other people did too. So I think there's it's not a dumb question, I guess, is the answer to that. Real quick as well, before we take a quick break, we'll get to all the start sits for this week as well. Kenneth Walker had 12 carries for 47 yards. He also had 4 catches for 32 yards. Honestly, considering that the 49ers defense is so good, and the 49ers defense, in my league at least, had double-digit fantasy points. I think they had exactly 10 or maybe 11 points in that particular league. But still, Kenneth Walker finished this game, depending on if you're in a half or full PPR, with about 10 points. And I would say if that's what you got for Ken Walker without a touchdown in his first week back after an injury, in which you thought, on a short week, no less, in which you thought maybe he wouldn't play, I think 10 points, honestly, is pretty good. I think that's a result I would take 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, show. And this, honestly, this sounds like the sad Matt Marchese fantasy show right now, because I started Kenneth Walker because I have Ramondre Stevenson. But I thought he was going to be out, and it does look like he has a good chance to play today. I was like, I can't take the chance. And I've got Swift going up against the Jets, and I've got Rashad White against the Bengals. And I was like, I think I'm going to play Kenneth Walker. And when he had the catch, it ended up going for 30 yards. He was oh so close to the end zone. Yeah. I'm like, oh, they're going to let him punch this in. And Noah Fant gets the touchdown, and I went, now that was the sign that the fantasy season is probably over for me in this league. But all things being considered, like you said, I thought he actually looked pretty good. And it's not like they worked Travis Homer in on early downs. Like, he was in there on some passing downs and he ended up fumbling. But at the end of the day, like, if you got 10 points from Kenneth Walker, I agree with you. That's way more than you could have asked for, considering what the Niners defense has done all year against running backs, especially lately. I don't think you can have a complaint about that.
Yeah, 49ers defense are one of those teams, too, that honestly you could probably start even against relatively tough matchups fantasy-wise just because they've been so consistent. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch them. But, yeah, you take the 10 points from Ken Walker. Also, Tyler Lockett, I should mention, did break his hand. He's undergoing surgery to repair the broken bone in his hand, one of his fingers, I believe. So he probably is done for this fantasy season, I would imagine, over the next couple of weeks. You never really know, but I would imagine he is done despite the 7 catches for 68 yards. I believe the information is that it happened on one of the last plays of the game. So we'll have to continue monitoring that. But just if you are going forward in your playoff hunt this season, just be aware if you do have Tyler Lockett that he probably will be on your bench in your IR spot or maybe even a drop, despite the fact that he has had a very, very, very good season with Geno Smith at the helm of that Seattle Seahawks offense. But let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll do all the start sits. And don't forget, your questions at the top of the next hour at 9 o'clock Eastern on the People's Text Line 590-590. We'll take all of your fantasy questions today in Week 15. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show and Matt here with you this morning. Week 15 is here. The fantasy playoffs are here. We're here to get to all the games, certainly, that have happened so far. But now start sits, injury news and notes, and of course, in the next segment, your questions on the People's Text Line at 590-590, name and location, please. But Matt, let's start with our start sits, of course. The first one, Falcons at Saints. And I don't think anyone's starting Desmond Ridder. I don't think. Like, I actually do have him in a couple of dynasty leagues, but I mean, I don't have a huge super expectation for him over a long period of time because I have a feeling the Falcons will be drafting another quarterback in the not too distant future. But Desmond Ridder is probably not someone you're starting, and because of that, again, we've said this a lot, but whenever there's a quarterback change, I am always a little hesitant to say, yes, start this player, don't start that player, just because we never really know what the effect will be on the offense, right? When you start a new quarterback, like sometimes it'll be like, if Olamide Zaccheaus was the best player in the Falcons today, would anyone be all that surprised? Probably not. Like, it should be Drake London, but probably not if it was anyone else. So I have everyone on this offense listed as a flex, essentially. And when it comes to Patterson, Drake London, and that's pretty much it. Even Zaccheaus, I'd probably say, is a sit.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a great matchup for Desmond. Probably end up scoring more points than Tyler Huntley, which is absolutely going to happen just because that's my luck. But I look at this team, and they're not a fun fantasy team to watch. That's for certain. But also, it's just the passing offense with Marcus Mariota wasn't any good, and I'm not sure that it's going to be any better with Desmond Ridder. Desmond Ridder does offer a pretty decent floor because he's a pretty athletic guy in the rushing category. But at the end of the day, like you're not starting him. I probably wouldn't start anybody but Cordero Patterson. And even that to me is a flex. Like, I don't trust Drake London enough in this game. Especially if you're in a playoff game, which most people are, unless you play your championship weekend in week 18, in which I say shame on you. But I look at this situation and say I'm going to sit everybody, and even Cordero Patterson. Like, I'm only putting him in if I'm a little bit desperate because he does feel a little touchdown dependent this week.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm a little wary on Patterson personally. So that's why I have him as a flex play personally. I'm not sure anyone else. It's just there are not that many options. So I think that for the Falcons to have any sort of success, it probably does mean Patterson has to have a good day. But at the same time, the state of this offense, rookie QB, even after a bye week, I'm not sure how much you want to put your playoff hopes, for example, in the hands of Cordero Patterson after the up and down season he has had. On the Saints side of things, you got Alvin Kamara, you got I guess Taysom Hill, but I don't know. Again, like same goes for Patterson going for Hill. I don't know if you really want to trust Taysom Hill in the playoffs. You may not have any choice, but at the same time, I'm hoping you do have a better option than good old Taysom. But Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara are pretty much the only most reliable options, perhaps. Maybe that's the best way of saying it. Chris Olave is still, to me, a WR3 and Kamara an RB2. Olave is a WR3 not because he is bad, but because the offense on this team is not, it just does not move very well, right? So I'm not, again, if you start Olave, I think you hope for the best, but given how the passing offense has looked in this game, it's just, we say temper expectations a lot on this show. You just got to temper expectations at this point in the season because we have seen the ceiling, I think, of the Saints offense.
Yeah, and the only reason that I would say maybe I have him, you know, bumped up a little bit is because Atlanta's defense is just, they're just horrible. Like across the board, they do not defend very many positions very well. The last time these two teams played, Andy Dalton did not even play, and Jameis Winston threw for 269 yards and two touchdowns, and that game ended 27-26 in favor of the Saints. So I actually don't hate Andy Dalton this week. I think that Andy Dalton actually has some high-end QB2 upside. So that's where I think having Chris Olave in there. I mean, when we look at their pass catchers, I know it's not every week, but like Chris Olave is by far and away the best receiver that they have, and they should use him that way. Just like Alvin Kamara is by far and away the best running back that they have, and they should use him that way. The last time these two teams played, he only had 12 touches, and there's no Mark Ingram. He's on the IR. I think we're in for like an Alvin Kamara, like 17 to 20 touch game, I believe, because as we know in the NFC South, which is horrible, everybody's still in it. So this game means a lot for both teams to try and stay in the race.
17 to 20 touches for 44 yards from scrimmage. That's what I'm thinking.
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking.
And no touchdown. You can't have a touchdown. You're not allowed Alvin Kamara.
I'd seen this, someone make this joke, and I mean, I never joke about players getting injured. So really, I know Mark Ingram had the MCL tear in week 13, so he's done for the year. But I had seen people say, boy, leading rusher Mark Ingram leaves the handcuff Alvin Kamara wide open to get some touches, which is honestly, like, it's a joke, but like that's how it has felt for a large portion of the season because I have no idea what they're doing in New Orleans. I'll tell you, it does not involve using Alvin Kamara a whole ton. And I certainly hope by sheer volume he is good, but and again, he is good when they do give him the ball. It's just the offense has just not looked very fluid this season. And yeah, both Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara should be higher up on lists, but unfortunately they're not. Let's move on to Steelers at Panthers. I was reading that it will be Mitch Trubisky who gets the start, but it won't be a long leash on Trubisky. So maybe we see both him or Kenny Pickett start in this game, depending on how the offense moves for Pittsburgh. But beyond those guys, it's kind of like the usual names you talk about with the Pittsburgh offense, right? Najee Harris, probably an RB2 at best, perhaps. He kind of salvaged his day last weekend with a rushing touchdown because outside of that, he had 12 carries for 33 yards. He had two receptions for 17 yards outside of that touchdown. So he has become sort of touchdown dependent, unfortunately. Beyond him, Deontay Johnson, he actually has had a couple of decent weeks in a row, and we know that Trubisky actually did target him 8 times in the loss to Baltimore last week. So I do think maybe you can start him as a WR3, but I would say Pat Freiermuth as well as a TE1, just because as we always say, it doesn't take a lot to be a TE1, but Deontay might be a start this week, even if it's a lower end start for me.
Yeah. And I have him in the same vein. I have him as a wide receiver 3, 5 targets in the last 2 games, whereas Deontay Johnson has seen 19. And I don't know what happened there. Pittsburgh's been such a weird team to try and get a grasp on, because just when you think George Pickens is going to really take over and Deontay Johnson is really going to take a back seat, this happens. George Pickens has the higher upside in any matchup for me, just because we've seen it this season. Like Deontay Johnson, I do not believe has a touchdown this year, whereas George Pickens does. And not that it's an offense that you're like, oh, I'm super keen on starting everyone. They do have really good players, just haven't been able to put it together. So I have Deontay Johnson as a wide receiver three. I have Pickens as a flex. I agree. Pat Freiermuth probably in the mid-range tight end one. And Najee Harris I have as a mid-range RB2 because we've seen the Panthers give up big weeks to running backs. And I do wonder, because the leash is so short with Mitch Trubisky, that Najee Harris gets a lot of work this week.
On the Panthers side of things, we know it's definitely Deontay Foreman is someone you can start perhaps as an RB2. Chuba Hubbard is another guy you can, I think, start because DJ Moore, I think he is apparently going to give it a go today, but I'm not sure anyone is going to feel comfortable starting DJ Moore after the just truly abysmal season he has had. And then on top of that, the injury, right? So ultimately speaking, Moore is a super talented receiver. And I expect if they have a talented QB in Carolina next year, not to disparage the QBs that are already there in PJ Walker and Sam Darnold, but having said that,
from a fantasy perspective, they've not been
people who have raised or even really moved the needle at all for this Panthers offense. So I think it's going to be another run heavy game, which means that again, maybe it's like a Foreman as an RB3, Chuba Hubbard as a flex play perhaps, but it's just, I think you're sitting basically everyone else at this point.
I would still start DJ Moore just only because, and he's a flex play for me, only because I've seen what he has been able to do with Sam Darnold. I know the ankle injury is something to keep an eye on, but basically it was like Monday or Tuesday where they're like, yeah, he's probably going to play. So that's why I have less pause on DJ Moore this week, but I just love the matchup. Like the Steelers have given up the fifth most points per game to wide receivers this season. And Sam Darnold and DJ Moore, when they have played together, it has been a pretty good combination. Like 2 weeks ago, the week before DJ Moore got hurt, I think he had 4 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. Like that's the upside that you have with DJ Moore in a matchup against the Steelers, which I do like. I'm okay to start DJ Moore in a flex. If the Panthers decide that they're going to run the ball as much as I think that they're going to, like they have in previous weeks, I think both Carolina running backs are startable, like you mentioned. Chuba Hubbard has 31 carries over the last 2 weeks, which is, I never thought that was going to happen. But the recipe has worked for the Carolina Panthers, and I think it continues. So I think I would start both Deontay Foreman and Chuba Hubbard in flex spots this week.
Let's get to Eagles Bears. And look, I don't think you need us to tell you which guys to start on the Eagles, because most guys are starting Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, AJ Brown, and probably Devonta Smith every week. I know there might be more of a discussion when it comes to Devonta Smith, but you're definitely starting Brown, Sanders, and Hurts. And in case anyone had any kind of worry about Sanders, for example, let's put it this way. The Bears have only 3 teams have given up more fantasy points per game to opposing running backs than the Bears in the last 3 weeks. And Sanders put up 150 or more total yards for the second time in 3 games last week as well. So you combine those 2 things. I mean, maybe Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott have some run at some point, especially if this gets out of hand. But early on, Miles Sanders, they have shown a propensity to give Miles Sanders the football. So I think you can feel okay about that. But yeah, like I said, Devonta Smith, sometimes he is the victim of target volume either really going his way or not going his way whatsoever, which is why I have him as a WR2 versus AJ Brown's WR1 status. So, and I got Smith closer to the middle of the WR2 tier, let's call it, versus the top, just because I just have a feeling this game is going to be very, very run heavy. And if there is one receiver to get any kind of run here, it'll likely be AJ Brown. And on top of that, no Dallas Goedert. Just remember that Goedert is not getting activated today. It looks like he will be activated, I think, next week when the Eagles play the Cowboys, which I think actually going to be a lot of fun to watch. But that's where I fall on the Eagles. Did I miss anything? It's a pretty easy conversation when it comes to Philly this year.
Yeah, it really is. Like just on Devontae Smith, he is, I agree, in the mid-range to high-end wide receiver 2, but he has that wide receiver 1 upside in this offense because of his big playability. So yeah, not much to add there. Like I do feel like, and you mentioned it, this feels like a big Miles Sanders day.
Justin Fields for the Bears, someone you're starting, obviously. I think a lot of people are happy that it's the playoffs, so you can actually start Justin Fields. I have a feeling there'll be a lot of teams that win championships this year that either started Justin Fields in the playoffs and he was absolutely amazing, or like he got re-injured or something, right? There's going to be no middle ground with Justin Fields, I feel like, because of the way he likely powered many teams to make the playoffs in the first place. So yeah, you're starting Justin Fields no matter what, despite illnesses or injuries or whatever. If he's active, you are starting him. David Montgomery, and here's something interesting about Montgomery. I thought this was fascinating. Because Khalil Herbert had that season-ending injury a couple weeks ago, David Montgomery's volume has continued, if not to increase, has stayed pretty steady, right? Like, Montgomery has earned 15 or more touches in 8 of the last 9 games. That's incredible. Like, they're not that many running backs or players, period, who get that many touches who are not, like, bona fide RB, WRTE1s, essentially, right? Like, if you get 15 or more touches in a game, you are probably, like, talking about, like, Tyreek Hill. You're probably talking about, I don't know, Travis Kelce or something. And David Montgomery is routinely not discussed in that conversation. And I he's still an RB2 for me just because they're playing the Eagles. But at the same time, the Eagles' run defense has been a little more susceptible than the other parts of that defense. They've had some injuries here and there. So if you're getting 15 or more touches, you probably start this guy every week, I think.
Well, he's been good. Like, we're going to, like we talk about, you get playoff David Montgomery, and I think you're in a good position because we saw what he did last year in the fantasy playoffs, and it was league winner kind of stuff. I look at this game and I feel like the only way the Bears are going to keep this close is if they do keep the ball on the ground, because, you know, no Darnell Mooney really takes away from the passing game. Chase Claypool apparently hasn't picked up the playbook yet, which is very troubling to me because he's been there for a bit now. And the Eagles are really good against opposing tight ends. So I don't like Cole Kmet either. Like, I think this is, you know, the Justin Fields, David Montgomery show today, if in fact they are going to try and stay in this game and keep it close, because we know that the Bears defense isn't very good right now. They traded away seemingly everybody. This is obviously a rebuild. But yeah, if Justin Fields is playing, if David Montgomery is playing, you got to start both of them. And I expect, you know, QB1 numbers again from Justin Fields. And I expect high-end RB2 with back-end RB1 upside for David Montgomery this week.
Let's get to a couple more before we take a quick break here. Chiefs at Texans. And Patrick Mahomes, Isaiah Pacheco, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce are the guys you're starting most weeks, I would think. Isaiah Pacheco is absolutely phenomenal. You and I have really raved about him this season, so I don't think we need to spend too long on him because we know the Texans pass defense is pretty good. Texans rush defense, pretty bad. So I think you can start Pacheco. Feel okay if not good about it, especially if the Chiefs get off to an early lead and they start running the ball a little more. He's going to benefit. I imagine Jerick McKinnon will benefit as well. I got to say last week that play where Mahomes ran towards the line of scrimmage and then like shot putted the ball just kind of over his shoulder to a streaking Jerick McKinnon who ran for like a 50-something yard touchdown. That was one of the coolest plays I've seen all season. Like, that was just a lot of fun to watch. It was very backyard football and it was really cool to see. So kudos to you if you started Jerick McKinnon in week 14. Juju Smith-Schuster definitely looks like he is a little healthier after the concussion sidelined him a couple of weeks ago. He plays in over 75% of the team's snaps in the last couple of games, tied for the lead in team lead in routes run over that stretch as well. So we know that Mahomes seems to trust him in those contested middle of the field catches. So I think you can roll out Juju as a WR2, despite the tough matchup against the Texans passing defense that is pretty good as well. And then Travis Kelce, I mean, enough said about Travis Kelce. He's a TE1 every week.
Yeah, and I like how you pointed out Jerick McKinnon, because I do think he has some sneaky good value in PPR. He has 6 or more targets in 4 of his last 6 games. He had 9 last week, which he turned into, like you mentioned, 7 catches for 112 yards. I think that the Chiefs are going to try and win on the ground and then just kind of put them away, because the Texans, for whatever reason, they've been able to stick around in games. And it's probably because of their pass defense, because it is very good. I don't think that Derek Stingley is playing today, which is a big loss for the Texans secondary. But at the end of the day, this Chiefs offense should roll. And I do think that we're in for like the 15 to 18 carry Isaiah Pacheco game, and they're going to mix in Jerick McKinnon all over the place. I'm not that I'm saying that the pass catchers are going to be completely nullified, but I do believe that the game plan is let's beat them on the ground to open up the pass a little bit and then take advantage of it. So I do like both running backs in this one.
Yeah, not saying it's going to be exactly like it was last week with the Cowboys, and it's kind of a lackluster effort through the passing game when it comes to CeeDee Lamb or Dak Prescott or anything like that. I'm not exactly saying it'll be quite in that same vein when it comes to the end of the game, but mainly because I think there's a bit of higher upside when your QB is Patrick Mahomes. But at the same time, if you can run the ball and be successful, and it takes some pressure off of the rest of your team, the clock moves a little more. So yeah, I have a feeling it'll be a run-heavy game here as well. On the Texan side of things, I dare say the only two players most people are starting are Chris Moore and probably Jeff Driskel, I guess. Like, I'm not sure there's a running back you're really starting with any huge degree of confidence. Brandon Cooks, I believe, is going to be out. I believe Nico Collins also going to be out. Chris Moore had a pretty good game, and again, he caught a TD, I think, from Jeff Driskel. And I know in Yahoo leagues in particular, not in ESPN leagues, but in Yahoo leagues in particular, Jeff Driskel has the QB and TE eligibility. So if they are going to be working him into the game plan as a QB, and you can start him at tight end, I mean, it's a bit of a cheat a little bit, but I mean, if you can do it and it's legal, I mean, why not, right?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, show. And that's how I kind of look at this with Jeff Driskel. He played the exact same amount of snaps as Davis Mills did last week, and he's got tight end eligibility. I mean, I feel like in this moment, you could probably do a lot worse. That, to me, is worth a punt play just because I do think that they're going to work him in, because it was pretty successful last week against the Cowboys, a game in which they lost on a last-second field goal. So I think the Texans are just they're trying to stay in games. And if that's part of it, especially like you mentioned, with no Damian Pierce, they've got to come up with something. Like, it's a ravaged roster. I think I would take a shot on Jeff Driskel this week, because you know what? Yesterday's games were weird. Why can't today's games be weird?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be some weird stuff going on today, I promise you. And if it's going to be Jeff Driskel throwing TDs or whatever, I'm all for it. Let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we will get to the rest of your start sits. And of course, your fantasy questions as we enter the fantasy playoffs here, or the fantasy playoffs continue, on the People's Text Line at 590-590. Name and location, please. We will get to as many as we can in the next hour. So in a couple minutes, your questions on the Fantasy Show. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is the Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Hour two here on the program. Across the Sportsnet Radio Network, of course, in Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver. Thank you for being alongside us as we get set for the Fantasy Playoffs here in Week 15, or the Fantasy Playoffs continuing. Hopefully you had a productive Thursday night, Saturday morning, afternoon, evening, and here we are on a Sunday afternoon as well, getting ready for the 1 o'clock Eastern games. Let's get to the text line. Matt, are you ready for some text messages?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, you guys know the drill. The People's Text Line, 590-590 is where you can shoot us text, name and location, please. We will get to as many texts as we can here in the next 10-15 minutes. And any text line questions we don't get to on the air, we will get to once the program is over. I'll hop on a quick call with Marchese and we will answer all of your questions before 1 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's get to the first one here. I see one from Al in Uxbridge. Says, good morning, Merry Christmas, Happy Playoffs. Of course, Merry Christmas to you. Happy early Christmas, I suppose, Al. Half PPR flex position. Al wants to know, Alan Lazard or Elijah Moore in a half PPR league for his flex, Matt?
Oh, boy. This is a real brain
buster. Who the Packers playing? Oh, they're playing on Monday night. That's right. They're playing the Rams on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would lean Alan Lazard just because I just don't trust Zach Wilson, and I don't trust the way they've used Elijah Moore, so I'm going to go with Alan Lazard.
I think that's probably where I lean to. Honestly, I think my take on the Jets this week is probably just Garrett Wilson and no one else. I just don't know if I trust any other. If Zach Wilson is the QB, and again, we talked about this when Zach Wilson took over for Joe Flacco, and then we talked about it again when Mike White took over for Zach Wilson, and here we are talking about the reverse again, like many QB changes for the Jets this season. But I can't get behind the way Zach Wilson has played until we see him actually have a consistent outing, and maybe against the Lions, that's the time to do it. But boy, I mean, it's so tough to trust him after everything that's gone on this year.
Yeah, and like if it was Mike White, I'd be like, yeah, I think I'd probably lean Elijah Moore. And I can't believe I just said that. But if it was Mike White, yeah. But Zach Wilson, mm-mm, stay away.
Jeff from Beamsville, he wants to know us in full PPR, Swift or ETN in full PPR. That's a tough one to me because the usage for Swift is just a baffling. Basically, when he's not injured, it's hard. When he is injured, it's a little more understandable, even if it's frustrating, but it's just baffling his usage. And then on the other side of things, ETN. Gosh, ETN was single-handedly responsible for knocking me out of a couple leagues last week. So I totally get the question. I'm tempted to lean Swift because the Jags are playing the Cowboys, but I'm not sure where you fall on that.
Yeah, the problem with Swift is that his usage has just been so up and down. Like, yeah. It doesn't make it – like, he out-touches Jamal Williams 2 weeks ago, and then last week he's, like, non-existent in what was a plus matchup for him. And this week he goes up against the Jets, who have been good against the run. I feel like I lean ETN as well in this one. I don't trust Jared Goff on the road, and I don't trust the Lions on the road, so I'll take the Jags at home, and I'll take – Travis Etienne.
So you're going Travis Etienne over DeAndre Swift. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild to say?
Show, you know me. I am maybe the head of the DeAndre Swift fan club.
You're a truther. You're a Swift truther.
But I don't see how the usage has made any sort of sense, and I don't know how we can rely on it again today.
Let's see. Simon from Richmond Hill. Start two. DJ Chark, Zay Jones, and Joshua Palmer. Also, which defense, Giants or Chargers? So we'll get to the defense question in a sec. But it doesn't say if this is a standard, half, or full PPR. But still, I'm not sure that really affects these three like in a really huge fashion. Maybe it would affect Zay Jones more than anyone else. But I'm curious. So two of Chark, Zay Jones, and Palmer. So you're essentially benching one of these guys.
Yeah, I'm going to bench Palmer. I think we saw enough from Mike Williams and Keenan Allen last week to show that they're going to be the lead dogs. And I was expecting Mike Williams to have a better week this week, but it's hard to get better than he was last week.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go with Zay Jones. I'm going to go with DJ Chark, and I'm going to go Giants or Chargers. So the Giants have the Commanders and the Chargers have the Titans. And I have a feeling that we're in for a monster Derrick Henry game. Chargers. I'm going to go with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you'll probably get like a sub 10-point performance from both of these defenses,
yeah.
But maybe you have a better chance of getting a turnover from the Giants defense against the Commanders versus, I mean, like it's the same goes for the Titans, right? But you got guys who are like doubtful, like Derwin James and so on. Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry. Not so many passes through the air and a lot more of Derrick Henry touches. If he gets like 30 touches today, would you be surprised?
No, oh God, no. Against the Chargers defense, although, show, last week he had like a monster first half and then they barely used me. Finished with 17 carries after he ran all over the Jags. So I don't know what Mike Vrabel's doing, but no, I would not be surprised if Derrick Henry had 30 carries.
Jason from Peterborough, full PPR, and you might be very well equipped to answer this question, Matt. Can I trust Ramondre Stevenson coming off of the ankle injury, or do I go with DeAndre Swift?
Oh, this is the exact same problem as I'm having right now.
I know.
Here's my thing. If you have Ramondre Stevenson, I would go out and get one of Pierre Strong or Kevin Harris. Here's the only thing that makes me believe that Ramondre Stevenson is playing today is that they did not call up JJ Taylor from the practice squad, and that would only leave them with Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris behind Ramondre Stevenson.
I don't think Damian Harris is playing, right? I don't think he's
Damian
playing.
Harris was ruled out.
Yeah.
So That's where I lean. So I think you can trust Ramondre Stevenson, because if he plays, this is a good matchup against the Raiders. I say take the chance on Ramondre Stevenson, because why the hell not? It's weird Sunday, right?
And the Patriots are playing the Raiders, and I don't know. I have a feeling Bill Belichick, even though it seems like Josh McDaniels left on good terms, you kind of think that Bill Belichick wants to, like, bully his former assistant, right?
I would think so. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, yeah. Maybe bully's not the word, but I would love to beat their ass in a game like that, for sure. Especially because this game still has meaning for the Patriots, because they are in the playoff race, especially after the Miami loss yesterday.
I do think, well, the Bills, it's not as though they're in contention to win the division, but I do think you're right. Like, there's a chance the Patriots still make the playoffs as a wild card team. So yeah, the Patriots do need to win here. They have a tough schedule though. After the Raiders, I think in week 16, 17, I think they play the Dolphins and Bills, or maybe it's 17, 18, but they finish the season with the Dolphins and Bills, which is not exactly an easy matchup. So they need all the wins they can get, especially against struggling teams like the Raiders. So I'm with you. I think we see a lot of Stevenson today, and maybe that sets up some good play action for Mac Jones, because when he gets time to throw the ball, he looks not so bad. It's just the offensive line has been a little chaotic this year. It's not really a question, but this is just a comment from Kevin in Scarborough. A bad beat this week. I had Jonathan Taylor. My opponent had Kirk Cousins. My season is over. Look, maybe that's the case, Kevin. Maybe I'm someone who also started Jonathan Taylor and then had him go out in the first after like his second touch of the game. Maybe that's true, especially after 460 yards from Kirk Cousins. But you know what? I'll say this. You never really know. You know what? Like, it's definitely... It doesn't look good, I'm sure, without seeing the rest of your team. But, like, Matt, honestly, if there's one thing I've learned from playing fantasy football over many years, it's just that you, as likely or it may look for your defeat or win, you just honestly never really know in the end.
It is never over till it's over, but I can see where Kevin is coming from, because that really does feel like it's over. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins had 46 passing yards at half yesterday. Even with Jonathan Taylor down, you're like, oh, I still got a shot in this. So I agree. Anything can happen. Like we say, any given Sunday, right?
Man, Matt, last week, I'm not kidding, I needed just for one particular league, just to lock up a bye week. And in the end, it didn't really matter in the end, really. But I needed to get 10 points combined, okay, to win against, I think, one of our coworkers. And those 10 points needed to come from Ramondre Stevenson and Kyler Murray on Monday night. That's all I needed. Whoa. 10, and they both got Ooh. Injured and both did not finish the game. And I think they combined for like 5 points, 4 points coming from, I think, Stevenson. So that was probably one of my worst bad beats in recent memory. I'm glad I didn't bet too much money on that game, because I did bet Cardinals on the money line, so that really did not go my way, ultimately speaking. So I feel you, Kevin from Scarborough. I feel you. Ben from Thornhill, full PPR. He got into the playoffs as the fifth seed and needs all the help he can get. Sorry for so many questions. No, we welcome the questions here, Ben. Evan Engram or Juwan Johnson at tight end, first of all. This is a full PPR league, don't forget.
How do we sit Evan Engram after that monster week last week's show? 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. I still like the matchup better. I like the player better. Like, Juwan Johnson's matchup is not bad against Atlanta, but I mean, Trevor Lawrence is playing at an elite clip right now, and I'll take anybody in that offense, and I'll go with Evan Engram there.
Yeah, I think at this point you have to, right? I agree with you. Even if it is against the Cowboys defense, you might imagine the Jags are going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep up in this game. Let's see. The other question from Ben was his second question. Well, here we go. Michael Gallup or Tyler Boyd? I know Boyd. I think he's playing today, right?
It looks like he's going to play.
Yeah, he's in a suit up. I don't know. Boyd has just been, and you would think, for a guy who sees as many targets as he does, it would just be better of a result for him. It's so inconsistent. I have a hard time trusting him versus Michael Gallup.
Yeah, I'm going to take Michael Gallup in this one. I think that Cowboys and Jags game is going to be high scoring. So I'll go with Michael Gallup in that one.
Ben's last question was Broncos or Philly D. And Who are the Broncos playing? The Broncos are playing, the Cards, the Colt McCoy-led Cards. And, of course, we did the Eagles-Texans game. Oh, pardon me, Eagles-Bears game. That's a tough one.
Oh, I feel like I lean Broncos just because any offense that has Justin Fields and the way he's playing right now, I feel like the Eagles are going to give up more points than people think. Like, and Justin Fields hasn't really turned the ball over a whole heck of a lot. So I think I'm going to lean with the Broncos here.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there are probably better matchups for the Philly defense for the rest of the season, but the Broncos defense has played overall pretty well. You know, I saw some wild statistic where it was something like, if the Broncos offense had averaged, I think, like anywhere from between 14 to 18 points, they would have lost just two games all season, including last week's game. Isn't that insane? Like, that's a wild statistic when you think about just how, A, well the defense has played overall, and B, how bad the offense has looked. And, of course, no Russell Wilson today. Apparently, he did pass the concussion test, but did not get cleared by the team itself to play today. So he will not be suiting up against the Arizona Cardinals. So you're going to see, I guess it's Brett Rippon versus Colt McCoy. Is that the QB matchup? The QB matchup everyone that wanted to see?
That is a game that I can guarantee you I will not have on my television today. I can absolutely promise you that I will not be watching a second of that game.
Yeah, even the people over at like Red Zone are like, don't put that one on too much, I would imagine. Let's do one more before we take a quick break. And again, if we don't get to all of your questions on the air, we will answer all of them in about 45 minutes when we are done this program. Chris from Niagara Falls, let's go. Let's wrap up with this one. Am I starting Travis Etienne or David Montgomery? He doesn't say if this is a standard half or full PPR league, but I think this is a good question because we talked about Etienne, but I mean, we also talked about David Montgomery. The guy has gotten 15 or more touches in 8 of the last 9 games. Hard to sit David Montgomery these days.
Yeah, it really is. And Travis Etienne has had a rough couple of games here, games in which we thought, okay, this things are looking up here. You know, Travis Etienne, he had those monster weeks right after he got the starting gig from James Robinson. I'm going to lean David Montgomery here. I like the way they use him in the passing game. Like he's not a back that's just going to get 15 carries. Like in a game that we expect them to be down, he's probably going to have, you know, 3, maybe 4 catches. He's probably close to 20 touches this week, in my opinion, and I'll take that volume every day.
Yeah, Montgomery, a lot of his starts are volume-based, I would think. But, he's a good option. And, yeah, I'm benching. I have Travis Etienne. I've started him basically all season when he has been healthy. So I totally get the question. But I think, based on what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, he did get stopped at the 1-yard line, so he's still getting used down there. But I mean, it was like he got stopped at the 1-yard line. The very next play was Trevor Lawrence bolting into the end zone himself, right? So I mean, that's possible to happen when you have a mobile QB like Lawrence. So I would just keep that in mind because as much as you can start both guys, I would think. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Monty this week as well. Okay, that does it for our text line questions. You can still shoot us some questions at 590-590, name and location. We will answer all of your questions off the air when we are done in about 40 minutes. And again, if we have some time, maybe we'll squeeze some more in before the end of the show. But if not, again, shoot us a text at 590-590, name and location, please. Let's continue with our start sits, though, Matt. Let's boogie through a couple here before we hit a quick break. Cowboys at Jaguars, and we just talked about Travis Etienne, for example, so we might as well chat about the rest of the Jags offense. You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. He has been absolutely phenomenal over the last, month, let's call it, right? Dallas has allowed the third fewest points to opposing QBs. They allow 5.2 net yards per passing attempt, which is second best in the league. So despite the results as of late, I might, because of that, class Trevor Lawrence as a QB2. I think the threshold to get to a QB1, I think, is probably 20 points, I would say. Maybe 19 to 20 points, thereabouts. So if that's the case, then I would feel comfortable saying Lawrence is just under 20 points, just under 19 points. And if he gets 17 or 18 points, I think that's more than serviceable in my opinion. So that's why I got him at a QB2. And Christian Kirk is probably the other guy. And we talked about Evan Engram already. Christian Kirk is probably the other main Jaguar we haven't talked about. And you know, he's still the guy Trevor Lawrence looks to in big spots, right? The guy has 44 first downs this season. So a WR2 territory for me for Kirk.
Yeah, and he needs a bounce back, right? Like last week it was the Evan Engram show, and you can put Zay Jones in that category. Kirk just didn't have a good game, and I thought it was a prime spot for him. I think this is the bounce back here. I do like Zay Jones as well this week. I like Evan Engram, as we mentioned. And for Trevor Lawrence, show he is QB4 in points per game over the last 5 weeks. Like we have seen it is amazing what happens when a good quarterback has good coaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they've got an adult in the room now with Doug Peterson and not a child like Urban Meyer. It is a nice change for the Jags. And I like Trevor Lawrence. I think, like I said, I think this is a high scoring game. I think Trevor Lawrence finishes as a top five QB this week.
Wow.
I really do. He's playing at an elite level right now. And Dallas has been susceptible to giving up points. Like this is not a lockdown defense. Like they've had their games where they've been lights out, but we saw them give up, you know, 24 more points than we thought they were against the Texans last week. And I just think this is a good opportunity for the Jags at home. I like Trevor Lawrence as a like QB5 this week.
Yeah, I will say that the Jags are not the god-awful Jaguars we've seen like in the not too distant past, right? Like they certainly are not great, I would say, but at the same time, they're not like the worst team in the NFL. There are a lot of teams that I would consider just in worse spots than the Jags are, and that's partially because of Trevor Lawrence's development, but yeah, I would tend to agree with you when it comes to the Cowboys defense. They can be had, as we saw. I mean, they almost lost to the Texans last week, like you mentioned. On those Cowboys, Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, and Dalton Schultz are probably people everyone is starting every single week. Like I don't know that they are themselves matchup proof, because we have seen Dak Prescott, even as recently as last week, have like just okay, like so-so games. But generally speaking, I think you'd be hard pressed to find better options than any of those guys, given how they have played. I would still say Pollard is probably closer to an RB1 than Ezekiel Elliott is. Like they're both RB2s for me. But Tony Pollard is like the highest end of RB2 with like RB1 upside, even though he has been carrying the offense this past, like especially last week. But and Ezekiel Elliott is probably closer to the mid-tier RB2s, but they're still both guys you can still start, obviously, because they are very, very good. And Dalton Schultz, yeah, TE1, he had a great performance against the Texans. I think he had 10 targets. He looked great. So I think against the Jags defense, that allows the seventh most points to tight ends, I think you can feel good starting Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I think you can too. I think it's the usual suspects. Much like we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, like it's not a super long conversation. Like we said, to temper your expectations for Dak last week just because of the game, we said the same thing about CeeDee Lamb. I don't think there's any tempering of expectations today. I think this is one of like a 35 31 game or whatever. Like it's going to be high scoring. And I think that Dak Prescott's going to have a good week, as do I think CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalton Schultz are also going to have good weeks. And as a higher end kind of boomer bust flex play, I think Michael Gallup is in that conversation as well.
So what you're saying is that Noah Brown will catch 3 touchdowns today.
Probably. Like that's just the way it's going to happen that way. It always does, doesn't it?
Tony Pollard.
Like, this is the perfect matchup.
They're going to get the offense is going to get the ball down to the 1 yard line, and then Noah Brown's going to catch a TD on the very next play,
or like that or one of the backup tight ends. Like I know Jake Ferguson's not playing, right. So it'll be Hendershot that ends up catching a touchdown or running one in, which would be even more bizarre.
I just hope they do something. I hope they do something like they sub in Cooper Rush, and Cooper Rush like barrels in for it. Like you know, like the Argos will get like their backup QB or something, and the backup QB will like rush for a touchdown on the 1 yard line. Like that's what I wish the Cowboys would do. Get like Cooper Rush in there for a touchdown just to make everyone mad and no one happy, and then you get him back on the sidelines. Let's continue with Lions at Jets. And okay, how much are you downgrading the Lions on the road, and of all teams they are playing, the Jets, who have been a very good defense this season, How many of these guys are you downgrading? Because I have basically downgraded everyone by, let's call it a tier, right? Like if you say QB1, then from QB1 to QB2. Then if you're saying RB1, RB1 to RB2, and so on and so forth, right? So I have Jared Goff, QB2. I have DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams as kind of like a mid and low end RB2, respectively. I even got Amon-Ra St. Brown as a middling WR2, just because we have seen what Sauce Gardner does to guys, right? Like Sauce Gardner shuts people down. Like he's a rookie and is probably already one of the best cover corners in the entire NFL. I think that's just the reality of how that offense is or how that defense has played this season. So I have downgraded virtually every Lion this year. This week.
Yeah, so have I. And it's like it's Jared Goff's road numbers that scare the hell out of me. Because they are bad. Like at home, Jared Goff is like Joe Montana. On the road, he's like Joe Montana. Like it is not even remotely close. And so for me, I did the same thing. Everybody goes down a tier. I moved DJ Chark down to a wide receiver 3. I still think he's gonna have a pretty decent day. Jameson Williams, you know, he caught the touchdown last week, his first catch, first touchdown. He's a boom or bust flex play for me because there is some high upside. At the end of the day, if Jameson Williams is playing more snaps, that means that they're going to have to pick and choose who Sauce Gardner is going up against, whether it be Amon-Ra St. Brown, who primarily operates out of the slot, or he's going to have to play a bit against DJ Chark. He's going to have to play a bit against Jameson Williams. So it's an interesting week, but I still don't think that Jared Goff's road numbers are good enough. Same conversation goes for DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. It looks like there's a chance that Justin Jackson is not playing. So for me, that does elevate Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift a little bit, especially because somehow Justin Jackson vultured a touchdown from both running backs last week. So this was a matchup that I was looking at first, and I was like, okay, maybe high scoring. Now I look at it and go, I'm not so certain that the Jets are going to do much on offense, and I'm not so certain that the Lions are going to do much on offense either.
Joe Mantegna was in Criminal Minds, right?
He was.
Okay. I was like, why is that? It sounds so familiar.
That was the line from Waterboy. He says something like, oh, Joe Montana, you idiot.
Oh, yeah.
I said Joe Montana, not Joe Montana.
That's right. Oh, my God. God, I've seen that movie in forever. My goodness. What a great, I enjoy that movie. What a fun Adam Sandler movie.
That was great.
Let's finish up on the Jets and we'll take a quick break here. No Mike White. He is injured. Maybe we see Mike White again before the end of the season, but Mike White is going to be on the bench, or I guess he's not even going to be active for this game, I guess, if he's not cleared to play by the doctors, which means that Zach Wilson makes his return. And again, like we talked about this earlier, I'm not sure how much you can trust yet another QB change after this guy was benched for essentially underperforming and then whining about it to the media. So if that's the case, then again, like, can you start Zonovan Knight, for example, as a lower-end RB2? Sure, I think so. Can you still start Garrett Wilson even with Zach Wilson playing? I think so, but I don't think you can expect the absolutely ludicrous numbers he has put up under Mike White with Zach Wilson instead, right? So I think instead of a WR1, maybe you would just you deploy Garrett Wilson as a middling WR2 and hope for the best, because the truth is, who knows what Zach Wilson looks like? Maybe he has learned his lesson. Maybe he'll just throw the ball to the wide receivers, but we just don't know for sure, Matt.
Like, if we think that Zach Wilson is going to be like Captain America becoming Captain America, which he was before, to becoming actual Captain America after he goes through the change that he did with, I don't even know whatever they called it, but whatever
super
it was. You
serum,
know what I mean.
The super serum,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, do we think, it's been a while since I've seen that movie, do we think that Zach Wilson is just going to get this super serum and be like, oh, this is the Zach Wilson we thought the Jets had drafted? No, he's not. It's a plus matchup, and I think you're absolutely crazy to start him. He downgrades Garrett Wilson from to kind of a low end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. If I have Zonovan Knight, and I know there's a very good chance that this bites me in the ass, but I'm not starting Zonovan Knight. Mm. Here's why.
Okay.
The Lions' run defense has been vastly improved. Like, outside of allowing 72 yards from Devin Singletary on that Thanksgiving game, and that's a Thursday game, so I throw that out the window. They have held Dalvin Cook to 23 yards, Travis Etienne to 54 yards, and then Saquon Barkley the week before the Thanksgiving Day game to 22 yards. This is a vastly improved run defense, and I know the Jets are going to want to run the ball, but I don't see a path for Zonovan Knight to have, you know, like 90 yards like he did last week. I don't see it, and that's why for me, like, I've got him as a little bit more of a desperation flex play than anything.
Just remember, I think that I believe Aiden Hutchinson, who is a part of that good run defense, I think he is sick. I think he has like the flu or something. I think he did travel with the team to New York, so like, possible he still goes, because you see a lot of these people play when they're not 100% anyways. But just keep that in the back of your mind, because if Hutchinson doesn't play, I think I'd feel a little better about Zonovan Knight.
Yeah, sure. I think there are going to be a lot of people sick that watch this game anyway.
So yes.
Aiden Hutchinson will just fit right in with everybody else that's going to be taking part in this one. Doesn't it feel like a really ugly game to you?
I know. I'd love to say that this is going to be a high scoring game, but this is going to be like a 20-10 game or something like that.
If it's
right?
even that, if like that, watch yeah. the snow start to fall and it just becomes a mess and it's like 9-6. That would be the epitome of Lions Jets is 9-6.
Let's take a very quick break here, and when we continue, we'll wrap up. We have six more start sits to get to before the end of the Week 15 slate, so we'll get to those straight ahead. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One more segment to go on The Fantasy Show here across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you until the top of the hour. Inside the Lines is next after us, but we are here for Week 15 advice, injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, and of course your texts on the People's Text Line. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Name and location, please. If we have some time, we'll sprinkle some in here, but you guys know the drill. We usually don't have any time, so we'll answer the rest of your text off the air once we are done in about 20 minutes. Let's boogie through the rest of these games here. Marchese, Cards at Broncos is the next one up. Colt McCoy is the QB for the rest of the season. Sounds like Kyler Murray tore his ACL and damaged his meniscus, which some of the various fantasy football Twitter doctors are saying might lengthen his recovery. So just keep an eye on that if you are, let's say, like a Kyler Murray dynasty owner or something like that, because even so, I imagine Murray is not going to be starting game one of next season, but I think it's something to just keep in mind when it comes to Colt McCoy being the leader of this offense, because it probably downgrades everyone when it comes to a pass catching standpoint. And I imagine gives James Conner a bit of a boost because they're going to run the ball a lot more.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking, like Hollywood, DeAndre Hopkins, like I don't know. It doesn't feel like a game that Colt McCoy is going to have a good game, because the Broncos defense, despite, I know they gave up a lot of points last week to the Chiefs, but the Cardinals are not the Chiefs last time that I checked. I do agree with you. I think that James Conner, he did make me look bad last week. I thought he was a back end RB2 because I thought the Patriots are just going to stop them. And the way that, you know, losing Kyler Murray, it's like, oh, James Conner's not going to have a good week. James Conner had a very good week. So I think he continues that this week. But yeah, I not really much here for the Cardinal side of the ball. And frankly, not much for me on the other side of the ball either.
Yeah, just Jerry Jeudy, I guess, for the Broncos. Is that it?
I think it's Jerry Jeudy, but I still think that Latavius Murray offers you a decent floor just because the volume is there, and the Cardinals are not a great defense. I think he's got like low end RB2 written all over him with volume upside, so could end up as a mid range RB2. I mean, you're probably at this point starting him in a flex anyway if you're in the playoffs. So if you have him, I think that there's a nice little floor there for Latavius Murray. And I do think this is a low scoring game, but if somebody's going to get into the end zone, there's a chance it's Latavius Murray.
Yeah, that's true. And I know Marlon Mack did have a decent day and a productive fantasy day, but it was pretty much all based on that 66 yard touchdown, right? It was a catch and run. He burned his way into the end zone. Great. Hey, great. Good for him. But it's just, that was his most productive day since 2019. So I don't think anyone, and I certainly hope that everyone was not rushing to the fantasy waiver wire to pick up Marlon Mack, because I don't think that's a start this week, certainly just to double down on that. And yeah, Jerry Jeudy, I got him as a WR3. Maybe you have him maybe slightly higher. Is that it?
Yeah, I have him as a higher end wide receiver three, just because even with Brett Rypien, it does feel like only one pass catcher is going to be relevant. I will say this, even though I just said that only one pass catcher will be relevant, let's not forget it's the Arizona Cardinals. And generally speaking, outside of the Seahawks this year, I think that Greg Dulcich has a good week. Arizona has allowed the second most points per game to tight ends this season. What do we say? Death taxes and Arizona not being able to defend tight ends.
Yeah, I thought I definitely kind of thought to myself, boy, Arizona stinks against tight ends. Why aren't the Patriots using Hunter Henry more last Monday night? And then right on cue, as probably everyone and their mom was also thinking that, Hunter Henry busts up the seam and like takes down to like the 3-yard line, right? So I do think that old Dulcich Deleche thing can be started as a middling TE1. But again, it is tempered by the fact that, you know, it's not Russell Wilson. It is Brett Rypien starting at QB today. Patriots at Raiders, our next one here. I would say, again, Ramondre Stevenson, if he is healthy, and I mean, he's not going to be 100%, but because, like you mentioned before, they did not elevate another running back from the practice squad, which essentially means that you can still start Stevenson if he plays. And if he doesn't play, I think you can feel okay about starting Pierre Strong because no Damian Harris has already been ruled out. Apart from him, I think Jacoby Myers did partake in practice basically all week. So if he does go, you can start him. But he's like, there's not a lot of options beyond those two guys.
Yeah. My thing was, if Jacoby Myers couldn't go, I like Kendrick Bourne. But if Myers is going, I like it. It's a really good matchup, but I don't know what to make of the Patriots offense week in and week out, because they were one of the higher scoring teams in the league last year. And in reality show, it's not as if the personnel has changed. I know that the person calling the plays has changed. That's pretty significant, and I'm not trying to downplay that. But Mac Jones hasn't looked the same. Ramondre Stevenson has really been the lone bright spot. Jacoby Myers has battled injuries all season, so it hasn't been what everybody expected. But if there was a receiver that I would like, it would be Jacoby Myers. And if Ramondre Stevenson can't go, I think that Jacoby Myers' stock goes up.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to essentially use him as he is already used in this role, but even more so in the kind of short passing game role, because Ramondre Stevenson has been used in that role for a lot of the season anyways, right? So I am curious to see how that goes. But yeah, I think if they play, you start both of them because they're the only reliable players. And they're both lower end. I mean, well, Myers is probably a lower end player. Stevenson obviously is a higher end one because of how he's played so far this season. But just a PSA on the rest of the Patriots players, don't start them is where I land on that. Raiders side of things, you know, you're starting Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. It pretty much relies on how much you trust the other options on this team, right? Derek Carr has not been very good, and you know that he probably is a lower-end QB2 based on what we've seen, but Matt Collins, maybe a flex play. I believe Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller are playing today. Where are you following those guys?
I'm not starting either of them. Like, even everybody, I had a question about Darren Waller over Pat Freiermuth, and I would start Pat Freiermuth over Darren Waller in a nanosecond. And it's only because I just don't know what I'm going to get from Darren Waller. Like, could Darren Waller go out today and have 80 yards and a touchdown? It's possible. I just don't see it. He hasn't been able to stay healthy all year. Obviously, he's healthy enough to play, but even when he has played this season, it was up and down and a lot more down than it was up. Like, the only pass catcher I trust is Davante Adams, and I would expect that they really try and take him away and then say, just beat us on the ground, because that's been our strength all year. And so I'm starting Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams, and that's it from a Raiders perspective.
Let's get to the next couple of games here. Titans at Chargers. Are you starting anyone not named Derrick Henry when it comes to the Titans?
Actually, there is one that I do like, and I know that the Chargers have been pretty good against opposing tight ends all year. Like, they're about middle of the pack, but my only thing is, and I'm going to totally say his name wrong, but Chigozie Okonkwo is the only player that I'm interested in starting. When Treylon Burks does not play, and he is not playing today, he has a 15% target share.
Whew,
and last week, he scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
I know Austin Hooper led the team in receiving, but he is a guy that can stretch the field here. And in a game that I would anticipate the Chargers end up throwing the ball a lot because the Titans are horrible against the pass, I think that the Titans are going to have to do the same to keep up. So I would start Shagoziem Okonkwo in this one. If I needed a flyer at tight end.
Just from like a physical standpoint, he kind of looks like Derrick Henry, but just at tight end. Like he's just a big dude. Like that guy, he's a big guy and he moves quickly. It's just people who are that big should not be allowed to move that quickly, but he does. And so does Derrick Henry. So I agree with you. TE1 potential for Okonkwo. On the Chargers side of things, we kind of talked about this already, but obviously apart from Herbert, Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams, it just leaves the question of, do you start Joshua Palmer or not? He actually didn't look terrible last week, even with the other two guys still having the majority of the target share. It's just that the target share for Joshua Palmer decreased by a lot, which means that you need him to be more efficient to catch more passes and touchdowns and so on. Against a terrible Titans pass defense, I think you can start him, but I'm starting him as like a WR3 at best, maybe even a flex play, right? So I would not, if you have better options, keep Palmer on the bench. I'm doing that this week, for example. I'm starting like Travis Etienne, for example, over Palmer in one particular league. Gerald Everett, again, probably a TE1, but I got him as a lower end TE1 as well. Am I missing anything before we move on here, Matt?
No, I think you nail right on the head.
Bengals at Bucks, and I'm curious to see what Tom Brady looks like against the Buccaneers defense, or pardon me, against the Bengals defense for the Buccaneers, because he has just been, like, not terrible, but not that great either, but certainly terrible when you consider where you drafted him relative to how he's played. The Bengals defense has allowed 0 300-yard passing games. They rank 6th in pressure rate at 36%, and they allow the 7th fewest points to the QB position. I don't know. QB1, that screams QB2 numbers for Brady, even though you drafted him as a QB1. Beyond that, though, I mean, look, he seems to target Chris Godwin more than Mike Evans. And I know Mike Evans every week basically has like a 50-yard TD called back due to pass interference or something, but it's just been, it's been a tough watch with everyone on the Bucs offense.
It really has. And my question is, where do we go from here? Like, Mike Evans hasn't eclipsed 59 yards in his last 5 games. He hasn't scored a touchdown since October 2nd. So for me, he's a flex play at best. Chris Godwin is getting the target volume, so he's the better start in my opinion. Rashad White at running back probably gets the majority of the work. He had 18 touches to 12 for Fournette last week. But I do think that Leonard Fournette is a decent flex play in PPR, because I think he had 6 catches last week. It does really feel like a game that the Bengals are going to get ahead early and the Bucs are just going to throw a lot. So I would start Fournette as a flex play in PPR, and I think White is a volume-based RB2 with some upside.
For the Bengals side of things, I don't think we need to have a super long conversation about most of these guys, like Mixon, Burrow, Chase. You're starting all of those guys. We talked about Tyler Boyd a little bit for the start sit. So my question to you is, how confident after last week are you in starting T. Higgins?
Oh, he burned me, didn't he? Yeah. He did that. He did that T. Higgins thing, didn't he? I feel like the last time he did that, the next week he absolutely blew up. I feel that for whatever reason sticks out in my mind. Listen, he had a long time to recuperate from that injury because he barely played last week. So I feel like I'm okay with trusting him, even though it is a little bit of a tougher matchup. But outside of that, I mean, Jamar Chase, yes. Joe Mixon, yes. Don't get caught up in the Samaje Perine. I know that he scored a touchdown last week, but the volume was just not there when Joe Mixon's there. So it's the usual for me. I think that Joe Burrow going up against Tom Brady, not that it's the same measuring stick as it would have been in years past, but for me, Joe Burrow probably goes into this game looking like, I'm going to make a statement here. I think Joe Burrow is going to have a big week.
Giants and Commanders is the Sunday nighter. I actually think this will be a fun game. I do think so. I think that ultimately speaking, I know the last time they played, it was a tie. So, you know, maybe I eat my words, but I have enjoyed watching both of these teams play at times this season. I'm bullish on Daniel Jones this week in particular. I think he's going to be a QB1, maybe like a in the 7-10 range of a QB1 finish, but still I am going with QB1 for Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley, RB1, the pass catchers less so. Like, I think Daniel Jones's QB1 status is more relevant to him running the football because he moves very well, but Darius Slayton, probably a flex play. That's it for me when it comes to the Giants pass catchers. Washington, you got Taylor Heineke, Brian Robinson, Terry McLaurin, all startable, but I mean, they're probably all on the lower end of starts. Terry McLaurin, probably the best start, but generally speaking, you know, QB2 status for Heineke, maybe a flex play for Robinson.
Yeah, I like Robinson this week. The Giants haven't been great against the run. Not certainly not as good as they've been against the pass.
Right.
I do like Terry McLaurin because he does really feel like not a matchup proof guy, but he does feel like a guy that is going to produce as long as Taylor Heineke's his quarterback. Because if it's Carson Wentz, forget it, throw it out the window. But I do like McLaurin this week. I'd be sitting Taylor Heineke just because the Giants have been really good against opposing QBs. 18th most points per game against opposing QBs. I just don't love the start for him. This game screams chaos, though. Would you be at all shocked, especially the way that last game went, to see another tie between these two teams? Like they feel like just the Giants started off really well, but then they've kind of fallen into mediocrity a little bit. It does feel like the two most average teams going up against each other that both have a shot at the playoffs.
It just reminds me of those, like, the neutrals from Futurama when they're like, tell my wife I said hello. That's kind of how this game makes me feel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Very vanilla.
Yeah.
Very vanilla.
Yeah. Very, very just, it's there. The game is there. I just enjoy watching the Brian Daboll Giants than I have in years past when it comes to the Giants, because they look like a competent football team, even though they probably do need some reinforcements on offense, for example. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think this game it'll probably be a middling scoring game as well. Rams Packers is the last one here. Before we wrap things up here on the Fantasy Show, that's the Monday Nighter. I don't know that anyone's really starting too many Rams. Like, I know Cam Akers had the TD, and I was very grateful for that. And Skowronek had a decent day with especially in half or full PPR with Baker throwing the ball to him. But even with a full week, I'm not sure I'm confident enough to start any Rams in the fantasy playoffs. I just can't do it, Matt.
No, don't do that to yourself. Like, if I needed to pick a wide receiver, I think it's Van Jefferson just because I like the big playability. But this, you know who I would start? I would start the Packers defense. How about that, Show? I would start the Packers defense against the Rams because I don't trust anybody with the Rams. I mean, Baker Mayfield has an extra week to pick up the playbook, so we don't have to hear the commentator talk about how he's only had 2 days to pick up the playbook. Everybody's a sit for me. And honestly, if you get burned by not starting a Ram, don't feel bad because it really could have gone the other way.
Here's my danger zone pick for you. 2-2 Atwell is the highest scoring Ram today or on Monday.
I would not be shocked at that at all. But like, again, it's that matchup that you're like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, exactly. For the Packers, look, you're starting the usual suspects. I think we saw the shin injury for Aaron Jones, and then, of course, the Packers had the bye week in week 14, so they're coming off of their bye, and Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Alan Lazard are all guys you can start to varying degrees. But the best two starts of the week this week are probably Jones himself after exiting week 13 with that shin injury. And I would imagine, and he has been on the field pretty much all week, and I think the expectation is that he will play on Monday. If he doesn't play, I think obviously you can start A.J. Dillon. But if Jones plays, you're starting Aaron Jones. And Christian Watson, he has been the top option basically since week 10, right? Since he blew up in week 10 against the Cowboys.
Yep.
He had 3 touchdowns in that game, and he has looked phenomenal. So there's just no, at this point, I know it's every week we're like, oh, is Christian Watson, it's too efficient for it to continue. But honestly, if he's going to keep playing, you got to start him because I know it's tough on Monday nights, but you have to start Christian Watson if he's playing like this.
For sure you do. And I mean, I know it hasn't been a great year for Aaron Rodgers, but he did have the extra week to get healthier with that thumb injury. So I think it's going to be a better than he has been type week. But yeah, other than Watson and Aaron Jones, I mean, I'm not super stoked about this matchup. Like I said, start the Green Bay defense.
Yeah, exactly. That might be the most reliable option when it comes to the fantasy playoffs. In this particular game, outside of, let's say, Aaron Jones, right? I don't know. Aaron Rodgers, for example, I don't know what the future holds for him, but it's just, I would also not feel super confident about starting Aaron Rodgers, even against the Rams. I'm hoping you don't have to wait until Monday night to make that decision.
Yeah, no, don't do that to yourself. Start Tyler Huntley. Oh, wait, we already did that and that didn't work.
That's Matt Marchese. Matt, good luck to the rest of your playoff bound squads, and I'll talk to you tomorrow for the Waiver Wire podcast, and I'll talk to you later on this week.
Let's do it.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Show Ali. Best of luck to everyone in the fantasy playoffs. For Matt, For Austin, our technical director, you've been listening to the Fantasy Show. Again, next week, we are not on the air on Sunday. We are on the air on Saturday. So get your text line questions in on the People's Text Line at 590-590. Name and location, please, on Christmas Eve. We'll talk to you next week. Best of luck in the playoffs. You've been listening to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.